This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, here's the deal. 7 o'clock.
Yeah!
It's time for 92.9 The Game Tonight.
For the next hour, tune in or listen on the Odyssey app.
As we get you caught up with all things Atlanta sports and beyond.
We're going up tonight.
Like I say, just turn up and listen, you know.
That's the way to lead the show.
It's 92.9 The Game Tonight on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's Tribble tonight. Good evening, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Rob Tribble with you. We've got Dominatrix with us. Did you get a haircut? Schoolboy Clay, look at you, man. Looking nice and fresh and clean.
I don't look
like I need one, anymore. Man. Getting a little shaggy, getting a little mullety in the back.
Man, that was me for a while.
I
let this grow out and I start looking homeless.
Gotta clean this mess up. Hey, happy franchise tag day, everybody. Hope you got all your shopping done. Man, we've got a lot to get to. You know what? I'm going to fix the All-Star game, and I'm going to fix it. I'm going to fix it because of the social contagion of everyone complaining about it, and I caught that bug as well because I think it's just hot garbage. It's a Volkswagen filled with clowns spilled out onto an NBA arena, and that Volkswagen driven by Kevin Hart.
we're going to try and be a part of the solution instead of just
complaining about
the
problem. That's right. Hey, the Braves, of all the issues, there's an issue that I think is being overlooked by a lot of people. Not fatal, but an issue. We're going to explore that. And is college football, man, are they kind of committing suicide? Also, Falcons, $11 million under the cap. What can you do? You cut everybody. Cut all of them. That's what you do. Start from scratch. I like Mike Bell's approach. Scorched earth. Nobody on that defense outside of Jesse Bates or maybe A.J. Terrell, a few other guys. But for the most part, let's get out the broom and just clean it up. Clean it up. That's what I say. All right. NBA All-Star Game. That's been the talk. I was watching the SNL 50th anniversary. I didn't pay. I consume the NBA All-Star Game like all the youngsters do. I just got on my phone and looked for little highlights and snippets here and there.
I was going to say, I was talking to Chris about this weekend. This is the first time, I think, in my life where I didn't watch a single
Is it because of what happened last year?
It's not even that. Like, I just wasn't interested.
Well, neither were the players.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. Like, the whole new format and all that stuff. Like, I heard some people say they liked it. But, like, this was the first time where I didn't watch anything. Like, didn't watch the three-point contest, dunk contest, anything.
None of it. Didn't care. I mean, how many different ways can you dunk a basketball anyway? It's all been done. We've all seen it. It's just kind of – I regard the home run derby the same way. But, you know, big deals, I have my fist going from 12 to 6, if you know what I mean. But here's how I'm going to fix it. And a lot of people have talked about this, but I'm going to go a step further. Think about the four nations in the NHL. All we need, and we have a lot of it that we can mine or go to the pantry and pull out of the pantry, little geopolitical angst, geopolitical hate, USA and Canada hating each other right now. We all know why. Terrorists, 51st state, all this other stuff. Canada's not perfect, neither are we, but they boo our national anthem in Montreal, and apparently that made our players feel a certain way. You had three fights in the first 9 seconds.
Love it.
It ignited passion and care. And they're playing again on Thursday in Boston. Gee, you think, oh, Canada's going to get booed? I would imagine it would. So there you go. You have that. All right. A lot of people are saying, make it a Team USA against the world in the All-Star game. Oh, absolutely. Now do yourselves a favor. Go online and look at crowds at European basketball games. Have you ever seen it, Dom?
I've seen a few.
It's nuts.
I've seen a few, yeah.
It's nuts. It is like soccer matches. It is nuts.
Europeans, they bring that same... And really, I feel like in a lot of countries, especially in countries where they are big soccer fans...
Oh, yeah.
They bring that
to the basketball arena.
To all of their sports.
Meanwhile, what do we hear at State Farm Arena? Let's go, Hawks. Doon, doon, doon. Dude, let's go, Hawks. Come on, everybody.
Get the swag surf going.
Oh, yeah, anyway, a few people do. it's everybody's too cool to be enthusiastic about anything. And that's a problem, I think, with NBA players, too. Too cool to be in the dunk contest. Too cool to exert any effort. All right, here's what you do. Look at the breakdown of the NBA. There are 125 international players representing 43 countries across 6 continents. You got Greece, Serbia, Spain, Germany, Italy, Croatia, Africa. Intensely vocal fans over there, creates an electric atmosphere. Play one season of the All-Star game in one of the other countries. Canada's produced the most, 63 players, NBA. France currently has 9. Australia's got several, 35 in history. Germany has 6 currently in the league. Serbia with 7. Nigeria with 5. Go over there. You know what's going to happen? Those fans over there, they're always anxious to hate us because we're the big bully on the block. We always have been. Some people say because we're just a bunch of colonizers. Okay, but we've got that hate. Go over there. Just think about the hostile environment. What would that do to the players for Team USA? Oh, that would galvanize them. The worst thing in the world is to be disrespected and mocked. And guess what? Team World, they could beat us. I know we won the Olympic gold medal. Let's go play one of the games in Germany or Serbia. Oh, just don't put any offensive memes on the internet in Germany because the police will come and arrest you for that. Mm-hmm. They had that on 60 Minutes the other night, by the way. Yeah, there's nothing chilling about that. Go to Serbia. Go to Sudan. No, I don't know if you want to go to Sudan, though. The North Sudan and Sudan kind of hate each other. You know, they're kind of embroiled in the civil war. You've got the black Christians in North Sudan. You got the Arab Muslims in Sudan. And they just despise each other. Take it over there. And then come back over here. Gin it up. Always something if you just wrap it in the flag of whatever country you're from, as much as everything right now seems to be involved in getting rid of the notion of any sort of nationalism whatsoever, because they want a one-world utopia, right? Isn't it funny, though, how something as simple as booing the anthem could galvanize a hockey team like it did? It would have been physical anyway, but absolutely, that added a little bit extra spice.
Oh, yeah.
And people innately love where they live and, for the most part, love the countries that they're from. They do, for the most part. Some people don't, and that's fine. That's your prerogative.
I was going to say, there are tons of people who don't like the country they live in, but when it comes to the Olympics, when it comes to competition, if it's my country against yours, people get super patriotic.
Or I can make fun of my brother, but you can't.
Exactly. I can pick on my brother, but you can't. Yep.
Imagine Steph and LeBron, if he's still around, they traipse into Serbia in front of that crowd. Ooh, man. There you go. Make it international. Give them 9 days off. Who cares? 9 days off. That's enough to go over there, play a game, and get back. And they can find the Serbian version of Kevin Hart, I guess, to provide be the comic gesture, as it were. I think that'd be a good idea. There's all sorts of little nuances that may not necessarily fly, but I think that might be the best way, considering – A good healthy amount of geopolitical angst and hate can make any sporting event better.
I do like the idea of making it Team USA versus Team World for the actual All-Star game. I know they started doing that with the Rising Stars Challenge.
Yeah. I'm talking about taking it globally. Yeah. Take it overseas. We've got NFL games in Brazil and Australia pending. Yeah. Why can't we do this? Yeah. And I think it would add some juice.
I think so, too, especially because you have a lot of your big-name players in the NBA are international. Like,
oh, yeah.
You think,
well, your best players are.
Yeah. Like, you think Giannis wouldn't like to go back home and play in Greece?
Oh, Greece, absolutely.
Greece would be awesome. Like, there's a ton.
And that Greece, watch a Greek basketball game. That that fan base is nuts.
Like, Greece, I think, would be
nuts.
A great spot to do
rather
that.
Than, let's go, Hawks.
Yeah.
Doom, doom, doom.
Fans over there are a little bit more creative than we are.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think that'd be the best way to do it. I think it would be fascinating. And I know the Czechs hate the Polish, Serbians. They hate Kosovo. But you know they would all band together in their hatred of us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or just
absolutely.
Wanting to beat
yeah,
us.
Yeah, just the desire to win. I want my
take it overseas, brother. Take it overseas. That would fix it.
And
you know what else it would do though? Because I think there would be. A little bit of it would be a humbling experience for a lot of the American players because you know why there's 125 international players from 43 countries. They're better coached over there as youngsters.
They're
not playing nine AAU games a week and then maybe practicing once. No, over there, they're practicing nine times a week and maybe playing one or two games. That's why they come over here. So polished.
And our professionals at the age of 14
will be 14
playing against grown men.
There you go. Take it international. Gin up some geopolitical hate and angst.
Would you keep the idea? Because I actually kind of do like what they did with, like, it's playing to a point total as opposed to
This is just a game, man.
It's just
you can keep it a regular game because I think the passion and the vibe and the energy would be there. You can just play good old-fashioned basketball.
Yeah, in that setting, I think you do get more of a real game aspect.
Yeah.
So I think
it wouldn't have to be MTV's Rock and Jock basketball.
Yeah. True,
it could be good old-fashioned basketball.
I will give them credit for that. I don't mind the playing to a point total thing because I think that in the format that it has now, I think that does push you to be a little bit more competitive.
But if you're going to 40, though, that could be one good quarter in an NBA game because they don't play any defense anymore.
Figure it out. Maybe you up the total or something like that. Maybe it gets to 60 or something. I don't know. But yeah.
All right. We're going to come back. We've got a lot to get to. Falcons have a lot of decisions to make, but is their salary cap situation as dire as you think? Well, it's the Falcons. Everything's dire, especially on the defensive side of the ball. That's dire. Your front office. That could be considered dire. Your head coach could be considered dire. It's all dire. But there's a way to get this roster ready for next year via the draft and ways you can free up cap space. And also, coming up next with the Braves' first spring training game coming up on Saturday, how much longer does Brian Snitker want to do this? And also, an overlooked concern that I have about the Braves. That's coming up next. It's Tribble Tonight, Sports Radio 929 The Game. It's Tribble Tonight, Sports Radio 929 The Game. Hawks back in action Thursday, taking on Borlando right here on Sports Radio 929 The Game. Started off the show talking about my suggestion to fix the All-Star Game. There's no financial incentive you can give players to care. Right now they make so much money, they're all flying their own private jets to the games. And there's no coaches are no longer authority figures in the NBA. The players run everything. And it's great the players have certain power, but when they have too much power, this is the nonsense you end up having right now. I suggested Team USA versus a world team. Take it overseas one year, bring it back here the next. Once those guys from here face hostile crowds overseas, that's when their competitive juices will start flowing. It'd be such an electric atmosphere because basketball games overseas are nuts. They're just like soccer crowds. They're singing, jumping up and down, making a hell of a racket. I think that would galvanize some competitive juices that seem to be lacking now because they're all fat and happy. They're all fat and happy. We've got 125 international players from 43 different countries. Take the All-Star game to Greece one year, bring it back here. Then take it to Serbia, bring it back here. Take it to Spain, bring it back here. So there you go. All right, now to the Braves. Everybody's talking about the notion Alex Anthopoulos did not do enough in the offseason. Well, guess what? We're never going to be able to spend like the Mets, the Yankees, or the Dodgers. It's never going to happen. And Double A does pretty well for the most part, but now people are getting frustrated. There's an issue I'm wondering about, though. Travis Darnold is gone. I think he went out to, didn't he go to the Angels, right? Out there at Ron Washington? Loved him. So you have Sean Murphy. Disastrous year at the plate last year, but he was injured for like, what, first 72 games? Third pitch of the season. I think it was an oblique injury. But what are you going to get out of Sean Murphy every year? He might bat 250. He might hit 15 to 17 homers. Not going to be very dependent. What is he, a 233 career hitter? And who's your backup? Chadwick Trump, another light-hitting catcher. 151 career at-bats, batting 232. Maybe the more at-bats he gets, he can get better offensively. Now, both are very good defensive catchers. Both are very good at handling pitchers and calling games, I understand. But look what happened to the Braves last year. It was a disaster offensively. We saw what happened. All the injuries, too. What'd you have last year? You had, what, five of your regular players all miss at least 2 months? And you had a historically good year offensively in 2023, but and you cruised to the postseason. That wasn't necessarily a good thing. You ran away with the division, then you had, what, 10 days off. You lost your edge. The year they won the World Series, what they have to do? Scratch and claw to get to 500 in the month of August, and I think that made him battle-hardened, and that kind of added extra layer of intensity to their approach in the postseason because they had to scratch and claw their battle-hardened. They weren't well-rested. They weren't maybe even complacent for that matter. They would never admit they were complacent, but there's a subconscious complacency that could come into play when you have been historically dominant during the regular season. Last year, abysmal. 15th in batting average. Here's where, and I talked about this yesterday, actually, when I subbed for Andy and Randy. Here's where a big problem was. You were fourth in Major League Baseball in home runs. You were 14th in RBIs. What does that mean? A lot of solo homers. That's not going to get it done. 12th in OPS. You bring in a new new hitting coach. Kevin Seitzer let go. And Kevin Seitzer said, Mark Bowman, I think it was Mark Bowman, or might have been Dave O'Brien, that talked to him after he was let go by the Braves. Kevin Seitzer even said, the Braves need a coach who can help the hitters not try so hard. Now, that sounds corny, doesn't it? It's not corny. What happens in baseball when you're struggling and everybody's struggling? You start pressing. When you start pressing, you get hyper-aggressive at the plate. You're not as disciplined. And as a result, you had these issues last year. And that was a big problem. So now you have your new hitting coach. I cannot remember the guy's name. What's his name? He's from Newton County in Georgia. He was a hitting coach for the Rangers and Red Sox when they won the World Series. So maybe there's something he can do. Maybe a different voice will be very helpful, perhaps. Tim Hires, thank you very much. See, that's, look at you. My crack research staff, engineer, producer, all the hats you're wearing.
I'm a Swiss Army knife.
Tim Hires, yeah. So maybe that'll be a help. As for the lineup, what's going to happen? Ronald Acuna, probably not get back. He might be back first week of June, maybe sooner. Don't want to rush him back, though. So you have Jerickson Profar comes over from the Padres. He's probably going to be batting leadoff until Ronald gets back. Profar, very good in the leadoff spot. I think he batted 380 last year, but he was all over the lineup. So he's going to be good in the leadoff spot. Switch hitter. You have Ozzie as a switch hitter. So you don't want to jumble all your left-handers together like Matt Olson, et cetera, et al. So there's a lot of lineup flexibility. Michael Harris had been batting ninth. Now he's matured as a hitter and a player. He's a bona fide middle-of-the-lineup type of guy you can count on. Maybe even bat him second. Who knows? As for Brian Snitker, what is he, 69 years old? Last year, I'm surprised he didn't just retire last year because I heard an interview with him, and he was talking about just how frustrating it was. I think there was one game in particular. I think the Braves lost Max Fried and Ozzie Albies in the same game. If I were Brian Snitker, I would have just left, gone to the Jack Daniels bar and ordered a shot of bleach. That's what I would have done after that happened. And then he said the one that really bothered him was when, remember when Austin Riley got hit in the hand?
Mm-hmm.
He was done.
Yeah.
And he just knew we're cooked. Nowhere else to go after that. Raisel Iglesias, your closer, excellent last year. He was brilliant last year. Only four blown saves, I believe. He has only four blown saves. You got a decision to make when it comes to him, though. 35 years old, last year of his contract, I think you're paying him $15 million. Only four blown saves, yep. He's not a strikeout machine as a closer, kind of does it his own little way. Averages less than a strikeout an inning. 69 innings pitched, 68 strikeouts. But he doesn't walk anyone. That's the key. You don't walk anybody. He gets out of the game by letting them put the ball in play and letting your defense go to work. But he'll be 35 next year. Who's going to be the heir apparent as your closer? I know you got to worry about this year first. But I'm just wondering about such things. Also, Alex Anthopoulos, I think they brought in 20 non-roster invitees. Many of them are in their 30s. So they all have some major league experience. You can dot your bullpen with those guys and see what happens. I have a lot of concerns about the bullpen 6th, 7th, and 8th inning. I do. That's going to be an issue perhaps. But all in all, this team is in a position to win. You wonder about Spencer Strider, though. Everything seems to be healing nicely, but this is his second procedure. Now, he did not have Tommy John. He did not. That's not what he had. It was kind of a lesser deal than that, kind of like the, what's that thing called? It's called the tightrope procedure. Now, Strider, ligaments were not actually torn. So they cleaned up the bone, applied a brace, similar to the tightrope procedure for an ankle injury. So this isn't another Tommy John. But you still have to wonder, though. But they're going to let him pitch in a spring training game, and if all things look good, he'll probably rejoin the rotation last week of April, perhaps. We know what Spencer Schwellenbach last year, an absolute revelation. Brilliant. And I love the story. He didn't even have a locker at the spring training facility when he first got there. Brian Snitker had no idea who he was. This is all Alex Anthopoulos. He said, yep, there's this young man from Nebraska. Played shortstop in college and pitched. Pretty impressive. I like his makeup. And Spencer Schwellenbach throws, what, five pitches? Has really good command over all of them. It's not a gimmick where, well, maybe he should drop a couple of pitches and just stick to three. Nope. Nope. That's a legit arsenal he has top to bottom. And one thing about Schwellenbach, he was really good against the good teams last year. Against all your playoff teams, your upper echelon teams. I don't have the numbers, but it's true. I would not lie to you. I have no reason to lie to you. I'm an open book. So Brian Snitker says, taking it one year at a time, one day at a time, he feels good. And I really wondered about him at the end of last year because that was an impossibly difficult year. I was thinking, so many injuries, and I've said this before, I thought, well, what's next? Is an asteroid going to hit the clubhouse?
Right.
And just wipe out everybody.
Yeah, it's tough to keep, especially when you're at his age. Like, it's tough, I think, to really, like, in a season like that when you just keep getting hit. Like, the hits
over
just keep coming.
Over and
over and over. Man, I'm going to be 70 soon. Do I really want to put up with this?
I wonder how that would have affected him had he not had a World Series under his belt. That he finally won a World Series as a manager. Or if it means nothing. I don't know.
I think...
Because you try not to think about last year.
Yeah.
You want to learn from it, but you don't dwell on it.
I think, funny enough, I actually would say that if he didn't have the ring, I actually would lead it more to he definitely would be coming back.
Would come, yeah. Maybe the, yeah, that's true, because he already has it.
Yeah, like, if I have it already.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure he got one in 95 when he's part of the organization, but he was not the skipper.
Right. So once you get that, though, I think there is a level of achievement and just kind of finality where you feel like, okay, I've reached the ultimate goal in this sport.
Yep.
I'm good now. Like, anything else from this point on is just kind of, you know, extra.
But also, though, you know, people like him, he's been in the Braves organization for, good Lord, 48 years? Since 1977, I believe, in various minor league manager, third base coach, all the things. It's what he does. It's what he knows. I mean, you hear the term baseball lifer. Well, he's the epitome of that. It's like Bobby Cox was.
Yeah.
It's what they know. It's what they love to do. They can't wait to get out there to the yard every day. They can't wait to sit there and try to develop their young players and run things from the bench. It's just what he does. So I have some concerns offensively in the catching position, but not defensively, Sherton. Certainly Sean Murphy's going to be better this year. He just could not quite get it going last year due to that oblique injury, and he missed, 72 games? Third pitch, I think it was first at bat on opening day, he goes down with that injury, and he's out, and he just could never quite catch up. So hopefully that's – and hopefully Chadwick Tropp will be some sort of a revelation, because guess what? Your backup catcher going to be counted on. He's going to start anywhere between 20 and 40 games. I would say probably more than 20, actually. And if he's going well and Murphy's struggling, maybe even more than that. So maybe that'll work itself out. Rizal Iglesias, who's going to be his heir apparent. I don't see him coming back after this year, even as good as he was. It depends, though. As for your starting rotation, not quite as concerned. I just want Strider to stay healthy. But one thing, as brilliant as Chris Sale was winning the Cy Young last year, remember, he missed the playoffs due to a back injury, and he's had a lot of injuries over his career. I mean, he can't help that, certainly. But you wonder, since things were so good last year and he stayed healthy, does he have to pay the pauper? You know, is he going to be have some injury issues this year? I don't know. But you got Swellenbach, you got Chris Sale, Ian Anderson, hopefully maybe we'll finally figure it out. He's not pitching the major since 2022. A.J. Smith-Shawver, very high on him, even though we saw him in the playoffs last year. You just knew he just looked completely overmatched, but he has magical stuff. He's only been pitching for 4 years. Young kid, but magical arm, a lot of potential. But Ian Anderson's out of opportunities. He's out of options. So if he doesn't make the big club, you're going to have to bid him adieu. So I think they're going to figure it out. And between all the old guys they brought in, some of those guys, you brought in, three journeyman relievers that I know of. Maybe somebody will be consistent enough to be where you can have some confidence going into the sixth, seventh, and eighth innings, since starting pitchers no longer pitch out of the fifth inning for the most part. All right, coming up, Falcons. How are they going to get under the salary cap? I would just put basically all but three defensive players on a train and send them out of town. There you go. That would free up some cap space, wouldn't it? You got to replace them with somebody, though. We're going to crawl into that coming up next. It's Tribble Tonight, Sports Radio 929 The Game. Welcome back. It's Tribble Tonight, Sports Radio 929 The Game. Start of the show, fixing the NBA All-Star Game. Make it Team USA versus Team World and play some of those games overseas in front of some crazy crowds overseas and alternate, come back here, go there, give them about 9 days off. Why not? Anything to galvanize a sad sack product. There's no amount of financial stimulus or incentive you could offer players to want to compete and play hard. Put them in an environment like that where they may feel disrespected or they're afraid of losing or being embarrassed. That's worth all the money in the world that you could offer as a financial incentive. Play a game in Canada, go to Germany, Australia, Turkey, Italy, anywhere like that, and then bring it back here. Talked about the Braves. I have some concerns at the catching position as well as far as offensively goes. Of course, Travis d'Arnold is gone. Rely on Sean Murphy, who's basically a career 233 hitter, but a brilliant defensive catcher. He is. Could not quite get things right last year. And his backup, Chadwick Tromp, somebody else who hasn't really lit it up over his career as far as offensively goes, but both are very good defensive catchers, call good games, handle a pitching staff very well. But when a team that was starving for offense last year, I think you need all hands on deck. Hopefully that'll all work out. There you go. Now to the Falcons. It is franchise tag time, and also there's going to be some cuts. There's going to be it's an uncomfortable time of year for many players and many organizations, players that are beloved by the fan base and even their teammates and even the coaches. Sometimes you have to say goodbye. Falcons right now, $11 million under the cap. At least they're not the Saints, who were $54 million under the cap. And how do you free up some space? Well, number one, you could restructure. A lot of people think restructuring a contract is a pay cut. It's not a pay cut. You can prorate the base salary into a signing bonus or push money down the road. But they all ultimately get paid. We know that. But that could provide some sticker shock towards the end of a particular player's deal when you decide to restructure them. But right now, there's some sticker shock going on. Make some cuts or trade. There's your three ways to free up salary space, cap space. All right. Now for the uncomfortable part for a lot of people. What do you think as far as restructuring? Well, do you restructure Jake Matthews? I think Jake Matthews, he's still playing at a pretty high level. He's been very durable. He's never missed a start. So if you say if he restructured, I don't know, maybe Jesse Bates, Chris Lindstrom, that could free up about $24 million right there. Cuts, this is where it could get interesting. Do you want to cut Grady Jarrett? 31 years old, coming off an ACL, he's not quite the player he was. Still a very good player, certainly. We know he's the sheriff of that locker room, the heart and soul of the team. We know that. But Bill Belichick has always said this. Bill Walsh has always said this. Sometimes it's better to get rid of a player 1 year before you should. But this will be a cut situation, though. If you cut Grady Jarrett, what do you save? What, about $15 million, maybe? What about Caleb McGarry? Now, see, you got to remember, Caleb McGarry is protecting Michael Penix's blind side. Caleb McGarry, very good run blocker, but very average against the pass. Do you keep him around? Or could you upgrade? And maybe that's where the rumors started surfacing that maybe Terry Fontenot takes an offensive lineman in the first round. Maybe to replace a Caleb McGarry. I mean, he's just fine. Slightly average, I would imagine. David Onyemata. Remember, you bring him in as a free agent. He was very good in 2023 under Ryan Nielsen's scheme last year, not so much. And he's in his 30s also, $8 million. So say if you cut Grady, Caleb McGarry, and David Onyemata, that's $38 million in cap savings right there. That blows out of the water the $11 million cap issue you have right now. Another thing, I think you have to re-sign Drew Dahlman. You cannot take somebody like him for granted. Now, certainly, I heard Mike Bell say this, and I agree with him. We've actually talked about this. There's actually pretty good depth along the offensive line. But Drew Dahlman is probably, he was ranked as the fourth best center in the NFL last year. Now, Lloyd Cushenberry, the Titans, he signed a four-year $50 million deal with $30 million guaranteed. I think Drew Dahlman should be a priority. Because I've even heard Mike Johnson, who played the game, All-American Alabama, played for the Falcons. He said, this offensive line is good enough to get you to a Super Bowl. I'm not saying the Falcons are going to a Super Bowl. I'm just saying, on the offensive side of the ball, that offense is more than good enough to get to the Super Bowl. But the thing is, your defense has been an abject failure, a mockery, an embarrassment. So what are you going to do? It's a lot of decisions to be made. And as for Kirk Cousins, there might actually be, but this is silly season, though. There are some rumors out there that there might be a trade market for Kirk Cousins. Kevin Stefanski up there in Cleveland has a relationship with Kirk Cousins. Coached him for a little while. Rumor linked to the Jets. Maybe Aaron Glenn wants a veteran quarterback. Then maybe they'll draft a young quarterback and bring him along. So there might be a market for him. It might be a far-fetched long shot, but you never really know. You never really know what teams' priorities are, how they can manipulate the financials of the situation. You just never really know. But from the outside, it looks like, why? Just wait for him to get cut and pick him up. And Kirk Cousins does have a no-trade clause. A lot of people seem to be stuck on that notion. Guess what? Kirk Cousins, 37 years old or about to be, he still feels like he has some good football left in him, a couple of 3 years maybe. He does not want to be a backup. I think he would waive that in a heartbeat. So maybe something can happen there. So maybe the situation isn't as dire, but I just hope that Terry Fontenot gets this draft right, because you're going to be down a few picks this year due to the Matthew Judon situation, the tampering. You lost a fifth rounder. You're getting Braylon Trice back. That was your third rounder last year. Edge rusher out of Washington, I believe. Now, basically the scouting report on him was pretty good backup that could develop into a starter in the NFL. That's not exactly sexy, but that doesn't mean anything. We haven't really seen him play. Mm-hmm. We saw him play briefly against the Dolphins. We don't know, right?
We didn't see a lot of our top picks play this past year.
No, we did not. Ruka Roro, it seems like he popped at times.
Popped
he showed up,
end, yeah.
But he had injury issues, right? And he wasn't even active.
Yeah, he wasn't
first
active
couple
for
of
the
weeks.
Majority of the season.
Yeah. So maybe there's something there, but defensively, though, there's a lot of decisions to be made. And there's no real world beaters along that defensive line. You've got some pieces and some parts, but you need some dudes. And I think at linebacker, you got to get a little bit more athletic, too. I mean, there's a couple of good linebackers. Certainly, we saw some good linebacking play last year. On the back, you got A.J. Terrell, certainly. We see that. Probably need a bookend with him, too. But if you go out and you if you draft a corner with your first pick, well, that doesn't mean anything because you still have an extremely limited defensive line, which is a liability, by the way. If they can't affect the quarterback, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You could put Jesus Christ back there. He would still struggle. And Jesus is a lockdown corner and a great tackler, too, by the way, and a ball hawk.
Exactly. I was going to say, we can have Darrell Revis, Deion Sanders.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
If we're not getting after the quarterback.
Because you can't cover a guy for 5 seconds.
Yeah, you can't cover for 5, 6, 7 seconds.
Nobody can.
You just can't do it.
So, a lot of questions. I don't know. Maybe this will be a different year because the last couple of years I've gone into the season feeling so optimistic, especially last year. Oh, this is the 10 or 11 win team. I won't be so optimistic this year, meaning they may be a 10 or 11 win team. That's what I'm hoping for. But there are a lot of decisions to be made.
If you can trade Kyle Pitts, that gets you $11 million.
And I didn't think. Thank you for bringing him up. I didn't really think about that. Would anybody want him? I think maybe somebody would.
I think teams will want him.
You can't ignore the talent.
Exactly, the amount of talent, the fact,
the size, the talent.
Teams will rationalize that he was hurt. He never really played with a good quarterback or in a good offense. General managers and coaches all have that mentality of I can fix him. I can get the most out of him.
I know. Then watch him go somewhere else and turn into Gronk.
Man, listen. If he goes, imagine him in Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine what that might look like. If he can go to Cincinnati, like if they lose T. Higgins, but you bring
I think they're going to tag T. Higgins, I bet.
I think so. You want to keep Joe happy. You want to keep both of those
guys.
And
Joe had the best – he could have been an MVP if they would have won more games last year.
I was going to say, if it wasn't –
he probably had a better season than any other quarterback for the most part.
If it wasn't for the Bengals just constantly getting off to slow starts because it feels like every year they start off 0-3, 0-4.
I know.
You climb them, like dig themselves out
of this
hole.
You're 3-7, then you crawl your way almost back to 500.
Yeah.
They basically fell a game short of making the playoffs last year because
what happens in the past few years. So
I mean, what happens in September can affect your fortunes going forward. You can't really take any game for granted, but I think they probably will tag T. Higgins. But as for Kyle Pitts, I mean,
because like what are you bringing?
But you need
him
a pass catching tight end though. That's a premium position now.
Yes, but
Charlie Warner's not a pass catching tight end. He's a brilliant blocker.
He is, but Kyle doesn't catch a whole bunch of passes to begin
with.
No,
he doesn't. No, he doesn't.
I feel like for the production that you're getting out of Kyle Pitts, I feel like you could trade Kyle Pitts and then draft a tight end in the fifth round. And
yeah, maybe.
Probably get similar production.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, you got to think about this. Everybody falls. The NFL draft isn't like the NBA draft. I mean, of course, you find value in the second round of the NBA draft. But NFL, if you're drafted in the first round, you're supposed to be a Pro Bowler. You're supposed to already be. If you're drafted in the first round, you are already regarded as one of the top 10, 15 players at your position, even though you haven't played it down yet. Second round, you're supposed to be consummate pro, really good starter, maybe the occasional Pro Bowl. Third round picks, maybe a rotational guy that could develop into a starter. There are exceptions to the rule, of course. And you got to remember, there's a lot of guys. What is it? Almost 28% of the league is undrafted guys because it's cheap labor, right? So, I mean, who's to say you couldn't find somebody as an undrafted guy that comes in? It could be an impactful player. You see it all the time. not necessarily a quarterback per se, unless, you know, unless you're what's his name?
What, Brock Purdy over there?
No, he was Mr. Irrelevant, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, God, the guy that works with Jim Nantz, former Cowboys quarterback. Good Lord.
Oh, God. Jesus, why are we all blanking?
I don't know. He was undrafted. That's just the point. That's crazy. Can't remember such an obvious name. Tony Romo. There it was. Popped there into my go. Head, finally.
Because you said Cowboys quarterback and, like, Troy Aikman just kept hitting it stuck in my head. And I'm like, it's not Troy.
But I really hope they keep Drew Dolman. I. But if they were to draft an offensive lineman in the first round, maybe to replace McGarry, maybe I'd be okay with that, but it depends on what they could do free agent-wise. I don't know what you can do financially free agent-wise.
The Falcons are in a really tough spot because they need to
overhaul. An impossible spot, but a tough spot.
Yeah, because you need to overhaul the defense realistically. I think this offense, for the most part, is fine. I think you have a solid offensive line. Bijan Robinson is incredible. Tyler Allgeier is a great change of pace.
Absolutely.
Drake London, I think, showed that he's on his way to becoming a wide receiver one. Darnell Mooney was very good.
He was good.
He was fantastic this season. So I think offensively you have enough to be set.
I think so, too. I mean, maybe you can supplement or give somebody to some competition in a training camp, certainly. I mean, well, Drake London is probably the best 50-50. One of the most physical.
Yeah, yeah.
You hear Bijan Robinson talk about him. He said he's like the nicest guy in the world off the field, but on the field, he just flips the switch and he just becomes a psycho.
Yeah. So I like the team's offense. I think you have the tough task of trying to overhaul a defense that needs a ton of help in a ton of different places, and you don't necessarily have a lot of resources to do it. You don't have a ton of draft picks.
You don't.
You need to figure out a way to get under the salary cap right now. Like, it's a tough spot to be in. And also, by the way, while overhauling that defense, this entire defense is going to be learning a new defensive system. Jeff Ulbrich is here now. Like, it's going to be a really weird and tough offseason to navigate, especially when it comes to trying to figure out what the Falcons are going to do defensively.
Well, hopefully this offense can be generationally explosive. That way you're gonna win some games 40-38, but you'll win a lot of games 40-38. But you don't want to rely on that, though.
As long as you win it, that's all that matters.
You do not want to rely on that. All right, gonna come back more on the Falcons. Let's get into the Hawks a little bit, and I'm gonna fix the NBA All Star game like I did about an hour ago. Back into the Braves. Got some news and notes. Got a fun fact of the day. Got Rob's rewind. Bunch of interesting things happened on this day and. Various years in history, celebrity birthdays, got a lot of stuff to do over the next couple of hours. Sports Radio 929 The Game.